Good singing tonight, folks. Amen. It's good to see Susie Hudson back this evening. Be honest, I wasn't expecting to see her this evening, but that's great. We're grateful for that. Of course, continue to pray for each other. Lord's mercy on behalf of different ones dealing with this and that, things going on in our lives, and those still recovering. Good to see Brother Jack. He got rid of them extra four legs and is down to one extra leg now, so that's good. Thankful for that. Continue to pray for Debbie Dye as she has things going on as well. Brother Doug Holland's going to have a heart catheterization Thursday, I believe that is. And so pray for him on that. What else is going on this evening, folks, we need to remind each other of? Anyone? On the 13th? Okay. Okay. Okay, and that's Erna's sister. Of course, they pray for the family and the homegoing of their mother. But her sister's also having a heart catheterization. Then she also has to have a valve replaced. They know that, huh? Pardon? Right. Okay, yeah, replacing an artificial valve. Anyone else this evening? Yes, ma'am. We got some folks traveling tomorrow. Gail and the granddaughters are traveling tomorrow. So Sister Provy, pray for her as she's traveling. What do they call it? Standby, and hoping to get out on a 9-something flight. There she is. That correct, Sister? Okay, so be praying for her, Sister Chris. Okay, so pray for Sister Chris too. That's an answer to prayer there. Get that taken care of. It's good. Anyone else this evening? Just ask.
My mom's traveling this week as well.
Oh, okay. And you're going to California to see your mother. Is that right? And what day are you traveling? Tuesday? Okay. Great. Pray for Sister Doris. She travels. Right. Well, we're thankful for God's mercy to us. Thankful for good group out this morning. We had, I think Brother Ronnie said, around 20 visitors, several first-time visitors, and so we're really grateful for that. We're getting some help. Sister Tammy has volunteered to kind of greet those folks in the foyer and try to encourage them and get those visitors' cards filled out. That helps. We have those contacts to follow up with. Well, this evening, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're picking up where we were dealing with last Sunday on the subject of authority. We dealt with in the morning service just who's the boss. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the obvious head of His church, preeminent head of His church, absolutely complete authority in heaven and earth. We see as well that there's authority delegated to government, and there's delegated authority in the home. This evening we want to look at the subject of delegated authority within the church, and trust that God will help us a bit with that tonight. If you found your place in 1 Peter chapter 5, stand with me, reverence to the Word of God, as we read a few verses here. Beginning in verse 1 of 1 Peter 5, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." As he's speaking now to those elders, he says to them, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Father, once again, we bow before you, and we're so thankful for your good mercy to us. Thank you for a good day in the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the great joy it is to gather here with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We gather here, Father, as your church, as your people, your assembly here that meets on this hill. And Father, we pray that you'd be pleased, even this evening, to give us direction and leadership. Lord, we just want to hear from you. We don't need to hear man's wisdom. We don't need to hear the conjecture of human beings. But the Father, you would speak to us by your Spirit. Grant us, Father, to live for you and to your glory, to be the church of the living God that you would have us to be. We love you so much, Father. Thank you for your amazing, tremendous, eternal love for us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. And of course, may be seated. Get into this subject this evening. It's at least the first part of this, or some of this anyway, is a little difficult for a pastor to dive into. Sometimes it would sound a bit maybe self-serving or such, but I look at it as the Word of God. And if I'm out of line with the Word of God, I'm just flat out of line. And if we're looking at the script, what the Bible says, then so be it. We'll take it as God would direct it to us. And we're speak this evening, as we've said, we've been dealing with the subject of delegated authority. You know, there's, as we said, God is supreme. He is the preeminent one. Jesus Christ is head of His church. And He has no rivals. We don't give Him authority. He is the Lord of the church. It's for us to acknowledge and recognize that authority. And when we come to church authority, I'm going to say something that probably sounds contrary to what we've been saying. But hopefully, you'll understand as we go along. There's no such thing as church authority. Stick with me. There's no such thing as church authority. Now, there is a certain church that has its headquarters in the city of Rome that seeks to supplant God's authority in folks' lives. But that's a whole lot different than what biblical authority is. The important question here is, what's God's authority? What is indeed God's rule of faith and practice? And we understand that that is the Word of God. God's Word is His only rule for our faith and for our practice. It gives us what we believe and proclaim, and also what we and how we practice our lives as Christian. The Word of God. God's the authority in His church through His Word. He has that authority, and he conducts that through the administration of His Word. So then, with that said, any and all authority that the church has comes from the Word of God. Comes from the Word of God. The Bible is our authority. We don't go beyond that. We don't want less than that. The church's responsibility of this pulpit is to proclaim God's Word and then exhort obedience to His Word. We understand that, hopefully, and as we go along, I think these things will start coming together for us. We see the church's order of authority. Within the church, God has established an order of authority. We've already tried to make abundantly clear that God has established that authority and that Jesus Christ, His Son, is the head of every church. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, we've alluded to this verse, but here we read that He hath put all things under His feet, the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and gave Him to be the head over all things to His church. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we've read here in 1 Peter chapter 5, is the chief shepherd over the church. And when the chief shepherd, speaking of Christ, our Savior, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Then under the Lord Jesus Christ, God has established under shepherds, emphasizing that word under shepherds. As we've already read previously, we would look at these verses again in 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter writes to these folks and he says, the elders which are among you, those ones who serve as elders, and we would see that the New Testament teaches that that word elder in this passage, the word bishop in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and the word pastor refer to all one and the same office. That they describe different aspects of that office. And we read here then, the elders which are among you, I exhort, or I challenge, I exhort you who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Peter goes on then in verse 2 and says, feed the flock of God. That word feed there at the beginning of verse 2 is the verb form of the word pastor. Literally, Peter is saying shepherd the flock of God, pastor the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Now again, that word oversight in our verse is the same word translated bishop in 1 Timothy chapter 3. So we find that Peter is drawing all three aspects of the pastoral office together here and showing us the responsibility and also the accountability with that office. Feed the flock of God, pastor the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Well, we look at this just a little bit. The pastor does not have the same kind of authority as a civil magistrate might have. The pastor has no authority to decree proclamations. He has no authority to give edicts within the church. The pastor's responsibility, he has the leadership of persuasion. He has the leadership of reason and example. Beloved, again, the pastor's authority rests where? In the Word of God. The pastor's responsibility is to declare the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Here's the authority. My responsibility, the responsibility of the pastor, is to proclaim what God says. And by that preaching of persuasion and reason, await the ministry and dealing of the Holy Spirit to bring about that heartfelt or willing obedience then to the Word of God, not to the pastor. The obedience isn't to what the pastor says. The obedience is to what God says. What a distinction. Another passage where we find all three of these designations that are mentioned here, and we'll come back to this in a moment, hopefully, but in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is traveling and making his way back to Jerusalem, and he lands at Miletus in verse 17. Miletus is out to the coast from the city of Ephesus. And there it says in verse 17 of Acts 20, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And so in this passage, Paul is speaking to and instructing, again, exhorting and challenging the elders of that local church. And so when we come down to verse 28, we understand that who is Paul talking to? The elders or the pastors of the church there in Ephesus. And he says to them, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Take care of your own spiritual condition. First of all, set that priority. Preacher, elder, if you're not right, then how can you expect to minister rightly to your people? Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. To do what? Feed or pastor, shepherd the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So again, in our verse there, we see it where Paul says to them that they're to take heed unto themselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseer or bishop. That one in that place. The idea of that word is one who superintends, one who administers. And so we see that challenge or that responsibility is given to the elder or pastor of these local churches. Well, then let me ask you. In both passages, the pastor, the elder, is challenged, exhorted to feed his flock. And again, how does he do that? I'm not here to break out a bale of hay and dump the oats out on the altar up here. No, rather, I feed the flock of God, the church of God, what? The good bread of life. We break the bread of life. And here, that elder, again, responsible to do what? Feed. Or pastor. I over the years, been doing this now, I guess, for 20 years. And, you know, folks don't usually mind a preacher. They don't mind a preacher. Man, you can get at it, preach all you want. You know when you get into trouble, Brother Noel? When you start to pastor. You follow me? When you start to pastor, when you start to shepherd the flock, then you can get some ripples stirred up. But again, the obvious instruction to the pastor is to do what? Feed, pastor, shepherd that flock. Lord help us. Well, there's instruction, very clear instruction to the responsibility of the pastor here, and we'll deal with some of this other. Well, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. Might as well deal with it now. 1 Peter chapter 5, still in verse 2, where that elder, pastor, bishop is instructed to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. The ministry of the pastor cannot be something that he is forced into. It's not something that he can be compelled to do. The only compulsion must be by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God needs to put that pastor into that work. It's him to sort out who it is to be in that position within the church. So we see here that you can't have a mama called and papa sent preacher. He's going to be somebody that God called and the Holy Spirit sent and put into the Word. So it's not by constraint, but willingly. And you know, whenever I talk to young preachers or young men that are considering the ministry or some that aren't so young, I was in my early 30s or about 30 when God finally cornered me and wouldn't let me out of that corner until I said, yes, Lord, I'll give myself to that work. But when I'm talking to those young men, and Brother Alvey, I'm sure you've given the same advice along the way. If the young men that sense maybe you're called to preach but you don't know, my word always to them is, if you can do something else, do it. If you can do something else, do it. These preachers understand what I'm talking about. Because a preacher understands he can't do anything else. That by the compulsion of the Holy Spirit, he must enter into that word. And so we see that that tension, that God-induced tension, where man must not be man called, but God called. Can't be put into the ministry by men, but called of God. It's something that's to be done willingly, not for filthy lucre. The other day, I walked in the office, and I don't know where Miss Judy's at. She was back there counting money. Terrible job, counting money, and making some deposits. And I says to her, "Money is so dirty." And of course, she thought I was talking. Shows you where our minds were. She thought I was talking about something spiritual. I just meant it's dirty. It's dirty. It's been everywhere. Money, you know, coins and dollar bills. Who knows where they've been? But she was on the right track. There is that filthiness about money, what it can be used for, and what it can create through covetousness and greed and so forth. Well, a preacher can't be in the ministry for the money, huh? It can't be in the ministry for gold-plated water faucets or lavatory things or an air-conditioned dog husses and such as that. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I don't know too many God-called preachers that are getting rich, and that's okay. That's okay. Huh? God takes care. God takes care. And you folks and this church does well taking care of their preacher indeed. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. A ready mind. Huh? That's what the ministry's all about. But also, neither is being lords over God's heritage. And this is that idea of where that unjust or civil magistrate might be. One who seeks to be a master over his people. That's not a pastor's place. That's not a pastor's place. And unfortunately, even amongst Baptists, beloved, we can have, forgive me for saying it this way, but we can have some little Baptist popes running around that think they're there to just run folks' lives for them, make determinations for them along the way. That's not a pastor's place. He's there as that, again, to preach and teach and proclaim the Word of God, bring to bear in our lives the truths of the good Word of God. And he's there to give that counsel and encouragement, even challenge when need be, through what? The Word of God. Reprove, rebuke, correct, and instruct in righteousness as God has designed His Word to be. Well, we see these things. There's instruction to the church as well. And as we turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I just want to open the Word of God for us this evening. There's instruction to the church in these matters. In Hebrews 13, we read in verse 7, where, as a church, we're instructed to remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God. I had someone one time argue with me that this was talking about government officials. Well, I don't see too many government officials speaking the Word of God in folks' heart. This is referring to those in that spiritual place over us. Remember, who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Then turn over, if you would, to verse 17 of that same chapter, Hebrews 13 and verse 17. There, the Hebrew writer goes on and he says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." Oh my. "For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." When we see here, folks, the two-edged blade in these verses, the ones we've looked at previously, we see here. That blade of responsibility and accountability concerning this authority, so to speak. And I hate to use it that way because I see the pastor more as leader. His authority lies in his leadership more than anything. And we see, as has been spoken here, as we've just read, the church's responsibility. You know, it's a sad thing, maybe even a cursed plague in many quote-unquote independent Baptist churches across our nation, where churches refuse to recognize these things. It creates a real heartache within the church, creates a heartache for that one who serves as God's man there. And indeed, might I draw your attention again where it says, to submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. You know, every one of us are accountable for our own walk with God. Every one of us is accountable for how we obey and walk in obedience before the Lord. But do we also understand that God holds the pastor accountable for the church? God holds a pastor accountable for the direction and the way that a church is, how do you want to say, everything about it falls. Hey, the buck stops there. Whether he wants to accept it or not, so it is. And we see here that the Hebrew writer encourages believers that they do it with joy. Enable that man of God, that pastor, to carry out his ministry in joy. What a difference when pastor and church are on the same wavelength. Huh? Hey, I understand. There's a lot of pulpits that are messed up. And I don't mean by the furniture either. I'm talking about the guy that stands behind them. Preachers can get in the ditch on one side or the other too. Guilty. But beloved, oh my, so can churches. So can congregations lose sight of this, the clear biblical instruction from the Word of God. But it's a beautiful thing when it comes together. Huh? When it comes together and pastor and church and pastor can move ahead for the glory of God. See beautiful, wonderful things taking place. Hey, souls saved and lives changed, as we was talking about this morning. Become that lampstand that sends a light. Hey, a light that would be bright and shining in the community and even under the uttermost parts of the earth. Is God to be pleased? Enlarge our capacity for missions as well. It all comes together, dear church. Remember, as we consider this, there's no place for a pastor to have to fight for this. It's an ugly thing. It's a wrong thing. And a pastor that even tries to is lost before he starts. It's beyond that. Well, as we would go on, try to get past some of these things. The other edge of this knife is the pastor's authority, pastor's responsibility, I should say. As we've said already, a pastor has no right, no place to lord over Christ's church. It's not his church. Somebody said this morning going out, hey, your choir sure sounds good. Well, I knew what they meant. But I just reminded them, it's not my choir. Huh? It's God's choir. It's our choir. And I can't help it. I was mighty proud of them this morning. Y'all sure sounded good. Appreciate it. A pastor's not to be a tyrant. Huh? Not to be a dictator. But he must take the leadership of the flock. But you can't lead from behind, can you? Huh? I've heard that spoken of politically a lot lately. Leadership means you lead. You don't get behind with a whip or a chair or some such to push your folk. It's got to be led. Got to be through leadership. Pastors to set the course for the church. Obvious, though, along the way, a wise pastor seeks counsel. A wise pastor seeks wisdom from those in the church and sometimes from outside the church, that he might have guidance and direction for the church and of course for his ministry. Well, in considering these verses, you need to pray for your preacher. You need to pray for your pastor. We need to pray for each other. My wife can testify to you as we open the Word of God in the mornings before we start our day. She's heard me time and again just pleading with God, begging God to give Metropolitan Baptist Church the pastor they need. As I understand, I know Jim Turner a whole lot better than you know him. And I know how bad he needs God. And if he's going to be any kind of a pastor worth his salt at all, it's sure not going to be in his own strength or wisdom. It's going to be through the strength and power, the wisdom, the discernment, the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. A great part of a pastor's responsibility, as we've said, is to demonstrate leadership. As we read there in 1 Peter chapter 5, he's to do that by example, by being, first of all, an example to his church. But it's also very important, but also a very difficult task to cast a vision for your church. You follow what I mean? So many times a pastor may have that burden or vision that God would put upon his heart, but he doesn't have the ability or struggles to be able to cast that vision for his folk, for the church. And again, we need help with that. We need to have God's discernment. Because when God puts it together, when God will place his leadership, his burden upon the preacher, the pastor, the leader's heart, he'll also be working in the church. He'll put that together. Huh? When pastor and church are seeking God's face together, when we're looking to God to direct and lead, it'll come together. And it'll be for the beauty and glory of God's will. You know, a pastor fails from the get-go when he tries to force that vision upon his church. I've seen so many times a pastor... Right, I'm not saying right or wrong or indifferent, okay? Understand, I'm not throwing a stone at anybody. But oftentimes a pastor will see what he thinks God's plan and vision for the church is, but the church doesn't see it. The church doesn't see it. And so what's he try to do? He tries to push it anyway. He tries to force that thing along, and it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess, to say the least. And most often it ends up with a church in trouble, a church with problems and issues. So pastor fails when he tries to force his vision upon his church. He can't lord over a church. Huh? If a church doesn't sense that their pastor cares about them. You know, a sad thing over the years, I guess it's, if not careful, any preacher is susceptible to this. Any preacher's family can be susceptible to this. But along the way, if a pastor and his wife and maybe others with other leadership in the church aren't careful, now listen to this, he can get an us and them mentality. Huh? There's the preacher or the quote-unquote pastors, and then there's everybody else. That isn't biblical, folk. You know what? It's Metropolitan Baptist Church. Huh? We're a church. We're the called-out assembly of God that meets here on this hill. And God wants to use His church to accomplish His purpose and His work here in Lake Worth. It's not me or it's not you. It's the church serving God together and working, finding what He wants us to do and then do it. do it for His glory, for His honor. Hey, what a difference. What a difference when pastor and church are willing to let God do what He would order. Let God put it together. It means spending a good bit of time on our knees. It means seeking the face of God and not the face of men. I'm afraid maybe if I'm guilty of anything along the way, I've sought more counsel from men than I have counsel from God. Oh, I don't mean I don't pray and don't seek. But you know, sometimes we can seek the wisdom of men when we should just need to get on our knees. Get on our faces and let God reveal Himself. Hey, He'll do it. If you seek Me, He says, what? You will find Me. You will find Me. Well, beloved, that's what I've got this evening. Let's stand together.